Widely publicized misconduct by Wall Street brokerage firms such as Merrill Lynch and Citigroup's Salomon Smith Barney division has not stopped individual investors from giving their money to those same firms to manage. In this week's New Yorker magazine, columnist James Sirwicki wants to know why more investors haven't fired their brokers.
It was disastrous for the people who were investing, but for Merrill Lynch and Salomon Smith Barney, the amount of money that people have given them to manage has actually increased after all these scandals have come out rather than decreased.
You say in your article, if Circuit City sold televisions and blew up after 3 months, people would probably stop shopping there.
Yeah, that's really the amazing thing here. I mean, in fact, it's probably even worse in a way. The truth is that people tend to be pretty cautious, and even if they've been burned, it's a little bit of the devil you know, I think, is part of what's going on.
Well, are you being cautious if you're sticking with the company that tried to bamboozle you?
Well, frankly, I think you're being stupid. And the truth is, I think there are no good arguments for why you should keep your money with places that did try to rip you off, and also with places that have these really inherent conflicts of interest. All of the places where there were serious problems in the late 90s were institutions that owned both investment banks and brokerages. As long as you have that conflict, I think it's very hard to imagine how you're going to get a good deal from these guys.
And yet the loyalty is so intense.
Yeah, I think another reason for it actually is that with a brokerage, what you really have generally is a personal relationship with an individual. And so it's easy for you to convince yourself, well, the institution might be corrupt or the advice might be bad, but Bill really has, you know, my best interests at heart.
So even though these companies had to pay penalties, they can't really be sobered by the reaction to their behavior.
No, I think that's right. Yesterday I saw Eliot Spitzer, who is the New York State Attorney General, who is really the engine for a lot of these changes. And he said that he felt as if Wall Street had not yet internalized the sense of shame. You know, the fines were relatively large, but relative to their earnings, they were small. No one has gone to jail. A few people have been fired, but really not very many. And the most important thing, these guys are capitalists. If they continue to get business, they're going to continue to do business the way they've done it.
So what do people say when you say, why are you continuing to work with this company that flim-flammed you?
Well, I think there are a couple of reactions. One is sort of the personal thing that, you know, they really believe that the broker is really looking out for them. The second thing is, I do think there is a little bit of, well, they've been caught, they, you know, had their wrists slapped, and things are going to be better now. The third and perhaps most depressing thing is a sort of general sense that it doesn't really matter where, because all of Wall Street is kind of corrupt. And this is the most perverse thing of all. Wall Street is actually benefiting from the bust, the bursting of the bubble, because people are saying to themselves, whoa, you know, we went out, we tried to do it ourselves, we, you know, had an account at an online broker, and it failed. So now we need to go to the people who really know how to manage money, even though it's those people that played a key role in creating that bubble.
James Sirwicki's article, In Wall Street We Trust, appears in this week's New Yorker magazine.